Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Everybody's doing good. Well, I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. Glad that you survived a safe 4th of July. As long as you're here, it must have been fairly safe. Didn't come in on crutches. I didn't see anybody walk in like that today. So hopefully everybody had a great time with friends and family. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and we're just so thankful that you are with us in service this morning. Well, today is a great day. One of the things we do every Sunday morning is we welcome those of us who listen online to our message on social media and on iTunes and all that. So let's just give a welcome to all those. We welcome you. We love you. We appreciate our those who attend faithfully online. We love you and are thankful for you. Thank you so much for that. I'm probably going to need that here in a minute. Well, we're going to jump right into the message. We're going to finish our series. That startled me at first. Normally, we don't have people walking by. I'm like, Jeffrey, get up here real quick. Take him down. We're going to finish up our series, One Minute After You Die. One Minute After You Die. I hope this series has challenged and encouraged you as much as it has me. As I've been preparing this and going through this, God's really kind of challenged me to focus in. So many people today try not to think about death. They just want to think about the here and now, the present. They want to think about what it is that makes me happy. But it's so important that we talk about what happens after we die. And this has been our key thought through the whole series. If you've got your sermon outline, go ahead, take it out. The scriptures are in here. Follow along with us and jot some notes down. This is so important that we think about the time after we die, because what we believe about eternity, will determine how you live today. What you believe about eternity will determine how you live today. If you believe that your life is an accident, that you have no real purpose, that when you die, you're simply going to be lowered down into the ground, if that's your wish, and it will all be over, then it would make sense, if that's what you think, then it would make sense to live for the here and for the now. If there are no standards, if there is no absolute truth, then simply if it feels good, then we should just do it. But on the other hand, if you believe that you are created by God and that one day after your life on earth, you will spend eternity living somewhere, that will dramatically impact the choices that we make, that you and I make today. And so I want to wrap this series up. This is a way more fun message to teach than the one we taught last week. And so I want to wrap this series up and I want to teach a little bit about heaven. Everybody say heaven. Heaven. As I was preparing for this message, I realized that I would be unable to adequately convey the glory of heaven with you this morning, because Apostle Paul wrote about this. He said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he said, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." In other words, even those of us in this room with the most vivid and creative imaginations, we cannot even begin to imagine what it is that God is creating for us, his children. I want you to know this morning that heaven is going to be something so special. It's going to be something so, so amazing. Anybody excited about heaven here this morning? If you're not, I hope you'll be by the end. Let's look at some scripture. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I love this verse. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me." And I want to pause right there and say, for those who may feel as if you are carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, perhaps you're carrying the burden of worry, maybe fear, maybe anxiousness, maybe concern. Jesus is saying to us, even in the midst of whatever difficult season you are facing, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Watch this. He tells us why. Verse 2, "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready," Jesus is saying, "I will come back and I will get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's speaking to us all of these centuries later. He says, do not worry. Even when difficult things are going on, even when there are things that you don't understand, don't worry, because I'm going to prepare a place. This world is not your home. It's a temporary place. But one day we are going to be together. Is anybody looking forward to that day? Then turning over to the book of Revelation, which was written by the disciple John after God gave him a vision of what was to come in the end of days. And so Revelation 21 verse 1 says, then I saw a new heaven. Everybody say new. A new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Those of you that are married, most of you probably remember that moment that you're the gentleman in the room, that your bride stepped through that door and the music played and it just took your breath away. I think that this is what this verse is describing, that this is going to happen. And he goes on and says, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. Verse 4, it says, he will wipe every tear. Somebody say every. Every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. All of these things will be gone forever. Anybody getting a little bit more excited about heaven? Verse 5, it says, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, he said, write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and it is true. Verse 7, all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God and they will be my children. I want you to understand this morning that as a child of God, you and I have an inheritance that is coming for us. You are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to understand that you have royalty running through your veins. Don't let your hearts be troubled, because one day all of the pain and hurt is going to be gone and we're going to look and be with Jesus. Are you looking forward to that day? And so this morning, I want to teach about heaven by sharing, by kind of maybe knocking down some myths that people have. So I want to teach about heaven by sharing what heaven is not. So many people have the wrong idea in their minds of what heaven is actually going to be like. So let me share three common misconceptions about heaven. The first one is this, number one. It's the next blank in your outline. Number one is heaven will be boring. People mistakenly think that it is going to be boring. And I think that the primary reason that this idea exists is because the devil is a liar. The devil, Satan, was originally known as Lucifer. And so Lucifer was one of the three archangels created by God to glorify him in heaven. And so Bible scholars believe that Lucifer's responsibility was to lead worship in heaven. In fact, he was a glorious creation, kind of filled with these jewels and almost like mirror-like things that really was designed to reflect the glory of God back to God. And so the problem is at some point in time he became jealous, and scripture tells us that he desired to be like God. In fact, as you read through the book of Isaiah, five different times it says that Lucifer said things to the effect of, I will be like God. And I want you to understand that God does not have an equal. Satan is not the opposite of God. He is simply a fallen created being. And so scripture tells us that in an instant, in fact, it said, I saw him fall like lightning. Like you've seen lightning come, and as quick as it's there, it's gone. And so in an instant, God cast him out of heaven along with a third of the angels. And so theologians believe that those other angels are the demonic forces who work in conjunction with Satan today. And so we know that Lucifer, he's Satan, he's the prince of darkness, that he lies. He tries to deceive us. He tries to steal and kill and destroy everything that matters to God. And so if I were the devil, like I taught last week, I would try to convince you that hell is not a real place. But on the other end of the spectrum, I would also try to convince you that heaven is boring, because if it's boring, then we might as well live for what makes us feel good today. And so all of us in this room, if we had time to pass the mic around and ask you what you picture when you see heaven, we all would see things in our minds a little bit differently. Some think that we're going to be these fat, bald, you know, mostly naked baby angels floating on the clouds. You kind of know the picture I'm talking about, right? So some, when they picture heaven, they see this long line of people standing at the pearly gates, and for some reason, I don't know where this came from, but for some reason, St. Peter is the one who's sitting there standing, checking to see if your name is on the VIP list. Some imagine that once admitted into heaven, they're going to get handed a stock issue, one-size-fits-all heavenly robe. And you're like, really, God? You know, this does nothing to compliment my muscular physique. You know, don't you have something that's a little bit more revealing, right? You know, Jeffrey's like, yeah, God, you need to give me a cut one, God. Not one of these one size fits all, right? And then an angel's going to be standing there, right? And he's going to hand out these beautiful New Jerusalem 414 gold edition harps. Only problem is I've heard some of you sing. I can't even imagine you playing an instrument. I've got to listen to that for eternity, God. And you just start floating around on these billowing clouds, and you're just singing and strumming your harp. You're singing like all 400 verses of Amazing Grace, you know. And as you float by, you kind of give that, you know, that parade wave. As you, yeah, what's up, you know. And as other people on clouds pass by, and then a few minutes later, as you're just floating along, you're like, wait, is that? Oh my goodness, as you start seeing some of your relatives who have passed float by, and some of you, as soon as I said that, you're thinking, man, there's some of my relatives I don't even want to see on earth again, let alone in eternity. Well, some people are honest. Thank you, Jonas, right? That's a different message. But we have these crazy ideas of what we think heaven is going to be like. And honestly, most of them don't sound very fun. Most of them don't sound very enticing. They think that heaven will be boring because they think that God is boring. That he's some, you know, old fuddy-dud, you know, stick in the mud. That all God wants to do is just rob us of everything that is fun. But I want you to understand that heaven will not be boring. Every single thing that you enjoy here on earth, I want you to understand that it is the result of a gift from the majesty and power of an amazing God. So I want you to think of your favorite restaurant. I want you to think of eating your favorite food. You know, that place that you make reservations for special occasions, and you put that on your calendar, and even as you start thinking about it 2 or 3 days, you like your mouth just starts to salivate, and you're like, man, I'm just thinking about that. Well, listen, we are only able to enjoy that experience because God gave us the ability to taste by putting taste buds in our mouth. I want you to think of the most beautiful place in the world, the place that you dream to visit, or the place that you love to go on vacation. We only enjoy those places because God created them, and he gave us eyes to see and take in the wonder and the beauty of his creation. When we feel joy, when we laugh, when we love, these are all emotions that were given to us by a good and a perfect Heavenly Father. And so when we get to heaven, I believe that we will enjoy everything that we enjoy on earth, but it'll be even better because there will be no more sin, there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, and no more death. Are you looking forward to that day? Heaven is the absence of everything evil, and it is the presence of everything good. It will not be boring. I want to give you five different things that you can read about in Scripture that describe what heaven will be like. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of the verses. They're printed there. The references are printed there. You can go back and read them later. But what is heaven going to be like? What will happen in heaven? First of all, the next blank in your outline is that we will know one another, we will love, and we will be loved. In heaven, we will recognize one another. We will know, we will love, and we will be loved. You'll be able to walk up to Peter. I mean, think about all the amazing people in church. We'll be able to walk up to Peter and ask him, hey, what was it like to step out of that boat and begin to walk on the water? We'll be able to go to Moses and say, Moses, what was it like to stand at the edge of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army coming right behind and stick out your rod and miraculously see the sea part and the land dry up so you could walk through? Ladies, you know, mothers in the room, if you had a difficult childbirth, you can walk up to Eve like only a mother could do and say, what were you thinking? I hope it was worth it. You will know, you will be known, love, and be loved. For those of you who've lost loved ones who were in Christ, a child, a spouse, a close relative, a friend, you will be reunited with those that you love. And yet there will be no heartache, there will be no rejection, there will be no pain, there will only be perfect love. What will heaven be like? The next one in your outline is heaven will be a place of unimaginable beauty. Think about this. If no eye has seen, if no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared, that implies to me that there could even be new colors that we've never experienced, new sensations, new senses beyond what he's given us here on earth. There will be a new level of beauty unlike anything that we've ever seen. I want you to think about in your mind whatever is the most beautiful place that you've been on earth. For me, one of those places when I was 18 years old, my parents sent me on a missions trip, and I was able to take a safari, and on the missions trip, we had a little vacation time, and so they took us on the safari, and we spent a night in this game reserve in South Africa, and I'll never forget it. It was the most remarkable sunset. And as the sun went down, like the glow was everywhere, and you could hear the animals howling in the distance. And that evening, there was a massive, perfect full moon that came up over the horizon, and it caused the earth to glow in this warm orange hue. And in the distance, you could see the outline of the majestic baobab trees. And as incredible as that sight was, the Bible tells us that eyes have not seen what God is preparing for us in a perfect, sinless environment. Oh, the wonder of God's creation. Heaven is going to be a place of unimaginable beauty. What else will heaven be like? Here's another one. In heaven, we will see Jesus face to face. All throughout Scripture, this is so amazing. All throughout Scripture, we read how no one could ever be in the presence of God and live. In fact, Moses was begging God, God, let me see you. Let me see you face to face. Let me see your glory. And God just tells him, hey, Moses, if I did, you just, like, it would just be gone. You can't handle my glory. But what he says is, if you'll go in the cleft of the rock, I'll pass by and I'll give you a glimpse from behind me. But anything more than that would kill you. In fact, when the high priest entered the Holy of Holies once a year, this was the place where the Spirit of God dwelled. They would tie, tradition tells us that they would tie a rope to his ankle because they were afraid that if he did something wrong in God's presence, that he would instantly be killed. And if that happened, no one wanted to be the one to have to go in and pull the body out. And so they put that rope in so they could drag him out because they couldn't get close to the glory of God and live. And yet one day you and I are going to be able to look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face. What will heaven look like? What will heaven be like? The next one in your outline is you will have a new and perfect body. Some of you need to say amen right now. That was worth the price of coming to church just for that, right? I got some of your attention now, right? Your receding hairline. Your arthritis, your diabetes, your heart issues, your allergies, if you battle with migraines, maybe you struggle with cancer, whatever it is you battle with in your body here on earth, in heaven, all of that stuff is going to be gone because the scripture tells us we are going to have a glorified body and we are going to be perfect in every single way. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us, man, it's all right to work on the physical man, but don't forget, don't neglect the spiritual man, because one day if we don't neglect the spiritual man, God is going to give us a perfect, glorified body. What will heaven be like? Heaven will be the absence of everything bad, painful, and evil. It will be the absence of everything bad, painful, and evil. In the place of all that's bad, we will be surrounded instead by all that is good, holy, and glorious. In heaven, it appears that we will rule with Jesus, and I believe that we're going to rule with him in an area that we are passionate about and in an area that we enjoy. Working will not be a curse, but it will be a blessing as we rule and we reign with Jesus Christ. Whatever you can imagine, I want you to walk out of here understanding that heaven is going to be better. In heaven, there will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more fear. There will be no more stress. There will be no more depression. There'll be no more sleepless nights. There will be no more anxiety, no more abuse, no more heartache, no more divorce, no more racism, no more injustice, no more violence. No more having to get up to go to the bathroom at 3 a.m. Somebody said, yeah. No more bad breath. No more Mondays. Whatever you think of, I want you to understand that heaven is going to be better. No eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for us, his children. The second misconception that people have about heaven is this, and that is this world is your home. So many people believe that this world is their home, that this world is their final destination, that what we're doing right now is all that really matters. And the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Philippian believers about those who don't know Christ. And watch what he said, verse 3:19, he says, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. In other words, they live for, what do I look like? They live for, where do I go? How do I dress? What do I own? Where do I live? What car do I drive? The amount of money that I have in my bank account. But watch this, verse 20. It says, but we are citizens. Everybody say citizens of heaven. If you are a believer, you are a citizen of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. And I get it. I understand that you've got a U.S. birth certificate, or you've got a U.S. passport in a safe place in a drawer somewhere at home, but I want you to understand this morning, you are not of this world. As a son or daughter of Christ, you are a citizen of a much better place. You are a citizen of heaven. This world is not our home. I want you to imagine for me just a moment that this rope here that's spread across this stage, it goes all the way out to the back there, that this rope that's spread across here, it goes back in history as far as it could go. And think about God for a moment. God has always been. God always was. He is infinite. This just keeps going and going and going. As far as the eye could see, we could circle this rope around the entire world, and it still wouldn't measure how far and how long God has been, because he's always been. Now on this other side of the rope, this other direction, what I want you to imagine is that this is the future. This is eternity. So one day, all of us in this room, if the Lord tarries, our life is going to end. We're going to breathe our last breath, but eternity lasts forever and ever and ever. It just keeps going. But this red part right here that I've got right in the middle, this red segment right here in the middle, this actually represents the history of mankind. And so we start over here on this end, and we've got Adam and Eve kind of right here, right? And then we fast forward a little bit, and somewhere in this area we've got Abraham, and then we've got Moses, and then a little bit further down the line we've got Jesus, and then as we fast forward we move into the Middle Ages and to the Renaissance Age and the Reformation and the Industrial Revolution, and then we can even fast forward a little bit and we can get to our era. We've got, you know, World War I and the Great Depression and World War II. You've got the first two Packer Super Bowls, 1966 and 1967. Anybody ready for football yet? I was just thinking that this week, right? And then I was born like 1976. And so this red part is the entire history of mankind right here. So you've got eternity past, and then you've got eternity future, and then you've got us kind of like right here, right? Just in this little space. And so that's why Scripture tells us that our life is a mist, that our life is a vapor that quickly fades away. You're here for just a moment and then you're gone. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. This is the part that matters. This is the part. But so many of us in this room, we get caught because we're living for this tiny, tiny little piece of this red rope. And so often I find myself getting upset. I find myself getting worked up about what's happening in this little area right here. You know, like I'm running late to an appointment and I'm like, oh, these stupid drivers, right? Oh, my car broke down. Oh, stupid car, right? Somebody said bad things or mean things about, oh, stupid people. But I'd like to challenge you with this. In Philippians 1:18, Paul writes that doesn't matter. I'm going to explain that in just a minute, but these three words are pronounced in the Greek. It's tis garplein. Come on, say that with me. Tis garplein. And in this message, Paul, what he was doing as you read through this passage of Scripture, he was addressing those who were upset and they were worried about people who were preaching about Jesus, but they had improper motives. And so after writing about this, he says in verse 18, he says, tis garplein, this doesn't matter. In eternity, as long as Christ is being preached, there is no reason to get riled up. And so what I'm trying to learn to do in my life is when something upsets me is ask, tis garplein. In other words, what will this matter 100 years from now? Because if it doesn't matter 100 years from now, then it's not going to matter in eternity. And so those things that really upset me, if it doesn't matter on this side, why should I let it upset me in this tiny little piece that God has allowed me to live in? Instead, what I want to do is I want to live my life in the red here in a way that makes a difference going that way. So you may be wondering, well, Pastor, what matters in the red? We got a new series starting next week. I already mentioned it briefly. You don't want to miss it. I'm going to be discussing this in a lot of deep detail. But what matters is how and who I love. What matters in the red is what I give. What matters is who I serve. What matters is the words I speak that bring and give life. What matters is spending my life on things that will last when my little sliver of this red is gone. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, this is so powerful. He said, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. You see it? We don't look at this, at what we see in the red. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot yet see. For the things that we see now, the frustrations, the hurt, the pain that we go through, the things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things going this way, the things that we cannot see, will last forever. I want you to understand this morning, this world is not our home. We are a mist that appears for just a little while, and then we are gone. So many misconceptions about heaven. Some think it's boring. Some think it doesn't even exist, that this world is just their home and it's all that really matters. Here's the third misconception all around the world today. So many people wrongly believe that most people are going to heaven anyway. Doesn't matter what I do. Doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't even really matter what I believe, because most people are simply going to heaven anyway. We believe that because we are a good person. Let me translate that for you. When someone says, well, I'm a good person, what they're saying is, well, I haven't killed anybody. And if I did, they probably deserved it. Or I'm not a drug dealer. Or I haven't abused anyone. I've been a good husband. I've been a good wife. I've not done any of those bad things. I'm not a bad person. So because of that, heaven's just, it has to be my default destination, right? No, no, no. Don't forget what Jesus said in Matthew 7. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose to walk that way. I want you to understand that the truth is this. Good people don't go to heaven when they die. We would say, well, that's kind of harsh, Pastor. Well, if that's the case, who goes to heaven? I want you to hear this. Forgiven people do. There is nobody who is good, Scripture tells us. Those who go to heaven are the ones who have received forgiveness by the grace of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned. We all. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm included in the all. Come on, tell your other neighbor, I'm included in the all. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. I wonder if you'd be honest in this room. How many of you have ever told a lie? Let me see your hands. Come on, look around. Anybody whose hands aren't up, just say, liar, liar, pants on fire, right? Lying in church. How many of you here have ever stolen something? Come on, let me see your hands. I have. Man, some of you are lying right now. You got Lifeway pens in your purse. Come on. I'm just playing. Those pens are there for you to take. I'm just playing. But when we truly understand the holiness of God, we become acutely aware of our sinfulness and our shortcomings. There's none of us in this room who are good. We all fall short of the mark. Continuing, verse 24 says, yet God in his grace. It's not in our righteousness, but it's in his grace. It's not in our goodness, but it's in his grace. It's not even in our religious efforts, but it's in his grace. Yet God, in his grace, he freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For what was he doing? He was looking ahead. He was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. My first goal in teaching this series to you was to help relieve your fears. If you're in Christ, you don't have to fear death. Because of the grace and righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can live at peace in the midst of difficult situations because we know that better day is coming for us. Secondly, I wanted to increase your urgency to help you recognize that this is what you have in this time that we have. What we do here in our red segment is what really matters if we're doing it with eternity in mind. And so there are some here today that carry the weight. They carry the fear of what would happen if their life suddenly ended today. And I'm ashamed. I spent many years of my life scared about what would happen to me if I passed or if the rapture came. I wondered if I had been good enough because deep down inside, I knew all of my mess. I knew all of my secret sins. And so what did I do? I went to church. I tried to do good. I tried to earn my salvation. I'd say sorry only to mess up over and over and over and over again. And what I didn't recognize was the fact that Scripture already confirmed this, that even on my best days, I will never be good enough. And that's why they refer to the gospel as the good news, because Jesus paid the debt that you and I could never, ever repay. He shed his blood to cover our sins so that anyone, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how dark your life has been, anyone who calls on the name that is above every name, anyone that calls on the name of Jesus Christ, that person would be saved. And so if you're here and you're under that weight, if you're under that condemnation, I want you to know Scripture says there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so I encourage you today, break the lies of Satan and find freedom in Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Those who would say, you know what? I recognize I've sinned. I recognize I need forgiveness. Today, I'm ready to make the choice to turn away from that mess and instead turn to Jesus. With no one looking around, if that's your prayer, I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many hands. Thank you. I see in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I thank you for your grace that is still reaching for us. In spite of all of our failures, in spite of all of our brokenness, Lord God, yet you continue to reach down to love us and embrace us. And so, Lord Jesus, we don't want to live our life completely focused on what's happening in this red area. But, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us live with eternity in mind. And so for some of us today, that means we need to make a choice from this moment forward that we're going to serve you, that we're going to follow you, and that we're going to pursue you with passion. Lord, we give our brokenness, our hurt, and our pain to you. Lord, give us new life today. Lord, wash us clean by the power of your word and the power of your blood. Lord Jesus, I pray for every mature believer, people in this room that have been walking with you for a long time. Lord, some of us, our focus has gotten way out of whack. And we're so concerned about the next vacation and the next car and the next, and all the next that we don't even have time to serve. Some of you, the very thing that we prayed for you, God, to give us and bless us with, once you've given us that thing, Lord Jesus, all we've done is we've made that an excuse of why we can't serve and why we can't do things that have an eternal perspective. And so, Lord God, right now I pray that you would forgive us, Lord God, and that you'd help us to live with eternity in mind. One day we get to see you face to face. I know there are those here that are hurting right now. There are those here that are feeling brokenness right now. But Lord, one day we are going to see you face to face. All the pain, all the hurt, all the brokenness is going to be washed away. And we're going to spend eternity with you. Lord God, I pray every day that you'd help us to live with the end in mind, with eternity in mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.